What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. The New York Post reports, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene stunned House lawmakers in a Friday vote by filing a motion to vacate against Speaker Mike Johnson, a source told the Post. Greene, Republican from Georgia, made the move as the House prepared to pass a partial government spending bill to avert a looming midnight shutdown, and less than 5 months after House Republicans ousted their last speaker, Kevin McCarthy. Another source told the Post that Greene would have to announce her motion at one of the chamber's microphones and was likely to get gaveled away from the mic beforehand. Hardline House Republicans erupted at Mike Johnson for dropping the 1,012-page bill in the early hours of Thursday morning, less than 48 hours before the partial government shutdown on March 22nd. So they're getting ready to go into recess. And as I understand it, there's like a two-day window that has to be elapse. And so she's not going to be able to drop this thing before they go on recess, but is going to, but then said that I saw some other quote where she's saying it's just a warning shot, which again kind of goes to what I said in the last hour, which is, you know, look for the incentive structure, and her incentive structure is to get what she's getting right now, which is FaceTime, airtime. She will be the topic of discussion during the weekend talk show circuit. So, Scott Rasmussen, the veteran pollster, he did a podcast with the Daily Signal, which, if I remember correctly, they are affiliated with the Heritage Foundation, and he surveyed a group of Americans that he describes, he calls them the elite 1%. Now, me, I hate the term elite because it indicates some level of superior ability or something. And have you met the elites? I mean, yes, some of them are very smart, and those tend to be like your self-made millionaires, billionaires, that kind of thing. But there are a lot of people that are just kind of trustafarians, you know? They got mom and dad's trust account, trust funds, and they're just skating on the family name. And eventually they will, you know, the subsequent generations will lose those fortunes. Anyway, he calls the elite 1% this top group, and they make over $150,000 a year. They live in densely populated areas, and they have postgraduate degrees. Okay. Oh, and they are all overwhelmingly liberal. So these are the quote elite 1%. They give President Joe Biden an 82% approval rating. See, that's what makes them elite. They really love Joe Biden. That's compared to his 40% average from the rest of Americans. Okay. So Scott Rasmussen asked these 1% voters, quote, suppose that your favorite candidate loses a close election. However, people on the campaign know that they can win by cheating without being caught. Okay? So that's this is the hypothetical that they're asked. Your favorite candidate's going to lose the election, but they can cheat and they won't get caught. All right? Would you rather have your candidate win by cheating or lose by playing fair? And I think that's a good question for everybody, actually, to consider, right? Would you rather have your candidate win by cheating or lose by playing fair? Among all Americans, 7% said they would want their candidate to win by cheating, which honestly, I think that number's probably higher. I think a lot of people would probably just kind of turn a blind eye to it, maybe not outright say, yay, you know, cheat as long as I win. But still, like 7%, that's the number that said they would want their candidate to win by cheating. When you ask the 1%, that number is 35%. So one out of three. One out of three of the, quote, elites. And then if you filter down, you start asking, okay, among that 1%, who are politically obsessed? And you start, and that's just inside the 1%. Who are politically obsessed, meaning that they talk about politics every single day, okay? And among those people, 69% say that they would want their candidate to win by cheating rather than lose, honestly. And this is a problem. This is a very big problem because this, quote, elite 1% that's politically active, they talk politics every day, these are the people who wield outsized influence. And if they're willing to do this, right, 70% of them say they would rather win by cheating. That's a problem. Rasmussen said, I've been polling for a very long time, and the last finding is the most terrifying poll result I have ever seen. He also said, what are their views on government compared to the general population? He said, most Americans think that we don't have enough individual freedom. Among the elite, about half of them say that. They say, no, we have too much freedom. Half of the 1% say we have too much freedom. And among that politically obsessed group, it again is 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 say there's too much individual freedom in America. I bet that number was even higher during the pandemic, by the way. It's just mind-boggling to Rasmussen. He says part of the reason is because they trust the government, right? That's part of the reason. In America, it's been 50 years since most voters trusted the government to do the right thing most of the time. But among the elite, 70% trust the government to do the right thing most of the time. Maybe it's because they are that group of people, right? These are the bureaucrats. These are the people who work or are, they either work in government or they're government adjacent, right? Maybe they're in like NGOs and nonprofits. They're in these sort of cottage industries that pop up living off of, you know, government grants or access. You know, like Hunter Biden. Rasmussen said, when I look at all the data, there's a sense that most of us believe in government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I think they would say it's of and by the elites. And that's what's best for the people. They really believe that if they could just make the decisions and get us out of the way, we would be a lot better off. You know, like Mike Johnson. I like at this point, you know what? Make Marjorie Taylor Greene the House Speaker. Seriously. Or Matt Gaetz. Make them, like, don't even ask. Like, you don't even get the choice to say no. Like, you are going to be the Speaker. Now, it's your gig. Now, do whatever it is that you want wanting to do. Do it. And let's see how it works out. Seriously. I was listening to and watching the podcast interview between Jordan Peterson and Dr. Phil, of all people. They're both clinical psychiatrists. And Dr. Phil's got a new book out. And so Peterson's talking to him about it. And one of the things that Dr. Phil said during this interview I thought was profound, which was, you know, anybody can come in and kick down something that somebody else made. Anybody can do that. Anybody can walk in and just tear something down, right? But it takes something special and somebody special to build something out of nothing. And so, and he uses this as a lesson in not just always criticizing, but also fixing. And okay, well, how do you make this better? At which point I'm like, whoa, if you do that, like that's my whole job. Like, I just can't just criticize. Like, what am I going to do? No, but I actually noticed this, believe it or not, at the HOA level. because I've started to try and help on the because there's a lot of issues in my neighborhood that I moved into, and I'm trying to help fix them. Because you know me, I'm all about solutions, and so I'm trying to help fix them. And there are a lot of people that are just super interested in drama, and that's all they care about. Like, all they care about is tearing a bunch of crap down and poking holes at things and, you know, denting things. That's all they care about. And that's their incentive structure.
All right. Well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code word Pete and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem, call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license.
I saw this post. This is from Aaron McIntyre. He is a host and a columnist at The Blaze. And reacting to the news that former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel has now joined NBC News as a contributor. I assume that also means she'll be appearing on MSNBC as well. And Orrin McIntyre says, most of the GOP aren't in an existential fight for the future of the nation. They're just second-rate elites who are resentful that they didn't qualify for the cool kids table and had to slum it by managing the plebs. And I would agree with that. But wait a minute, but Pete, how does that square with what you said earlier about not wanting to burn it all down? Right, well, it's like, okay, if you are in the minority, how many bills are you able to get passed? If you said zero, congratulations, that's the correct answer. Right, you don't get anything. You get nothing if you're in the minority. Okay, so how's about we try to get a majority? Well, but Pete, in order to do that, we're going to have some people that are the Ronna McDaniels. That is correct as well. Okay, so what then do you do? Well, you have to try to change the incentive structure inside the organization to identify and penalize people like the Ronna McDaniels or the other quote-unquote rhinos, establishments, or whatever you want to call them, all these different... Because remember, like, Ronna McDaniel was getting slammed by all of the grassroots and the MAGA world and all this stuff, but then Trump went ahead and endorsed her for the position again, right? The only reason she stuck around so long was because she had the endorsement and the support of Donald Trump, even though Trump supporters hated her. I can't explain any of that. I don't know what's going on, why all of those deals got cut. I have some ideas, but I don't know for sure. But it doesn't matter. My opinion on that does not matter. I'm not a registered Republican. I'm not involved in your party apparatus, right? You guys are free to do whatever you want to do. I'm just kind of on the outside looking in, maybe throwing some spitballs or spitting them, as it were, as I am known to do. That is true. But if you've got Republicans that are in this existential fight for the future of the nation, and you're trying to, and I believe that we are, and so, like, I am willing to help with that, I don't think it is a helpful strategy to take yourself out of power. That's not a good idea. You only have one of the three parts of the government, right? The House, the Senate, and the presidency. You only got the House, and you got it by two votes. Two seats, that's it. And so this desire to kind of keep swapping out the leadership because of the spending bill. I understand. You could be mad at the spending bill. Go do all of your videos and YouTubes and rants and tweet storms. Do all of that stuff against the spending bill. And meanwhile, keep going after one at a time, trying to replace the people, right, inside the coalition. Because I thought Mike Johnson, I thought everybody was pretty happy with Mike Johnson. And maybe Mike Johnson is now like looking at the math and saying, there's not enough people on our team that are going to support us blocking the spending. So do we just not do something? And there are a lot of people that are like, yes, burn it all down. Kill it all. And it doesn't matter to them. And so essentially then you're arguing over tactics, right? So you're going to kick him out, but nobody else has enough support to take over. Like Jim Jordan can't take it. He couldn't get it last time. Now maybe he can this time. I doubt it. Because now you need all those votes. And you got a margin of two. And the split still remains between the quote moderate Republicans and the hardline conservatives, right? So what's the point of all of this? Why would you do it? If it's going to yield you a result that in all likelihood is going to be worse. Well, again, like I'm not predicting, I don't know, but I do know this. It's going to get Marjorie Taylor Greene a lot of coverage. And don't think she doesn't know that. She's a politician too.
All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply. At CarolinaReadiness.com, whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
What it comes down to is shut down. What the whole thing comes down to is whether or not you believe we should shut down the federal government. As far as I could tell, that's what this comes down to. All of the arguments about the spending levels and what gets cut and what's in it and all that, right? I mean, we all understand, right, that every single one of these trillion-dollar spending deals are always going to have things in them that we don't like, right? Been doing this a very long time. I have not encountered a single budget ever that did not have something in it that I could talk about and object to. That's kind of the thing with really large budgets. And I say this as one, this is my, the role of the executive branch, the overreach, it's the biggest thing for me. And the fiscal stuff is second. These are the big issues for me. And so, but I recognize that when you've got, 435 members of Congress, they're all hammering out a budget, and I wish we would get back to regular order and the committee process. But somewhere along the lines, people... Who are really interested in politics and follow it as if they're following sports. A lot of people seem to have come to this conclusion that they're going to win and that the other team never gets an at-bat. And I don't understand where that comes from. I don't know who told you that, because it's not true. Okay. You're not going to get everything you want. You're not going to win much, if anything at all, particularly if you are of a limited government persuasion, right, or philosophy, such as I am. I don't expect to win. We're literally offering people nothing. Right? Vote for us, and we'll not give you all sorts of stuff that the other guys are promising you, right? It's a very hard sell. So I don't know where people get the idea that that somehow or another they're going to be able to, with a two-vote majority, rein in a trillion-dollar behemoth by shutting down the government. I don't understand the tactic. And there are a lot of people that believe that Republicans lost the last time when they did shut down the government. I don't know if that's true or not. I've seen evidence both ways. But there are people who believe that they will lose if they shut the government down. And you know that if the Republicans in the House don't cut a deal, a spending deal with the Senate, which is controlled by the other party, right? And they get an at-bat too. The other party, they want to spend more. You're not going to get your budget. They hopefully are not going to get their budget. You're going to get a budget that both of y'all are not going to be entirely happy with. That's the right. That's the general concept. I think that, like, I have always labored under, like, that's the general concept when you've got, the House and the Senate controlled by different political parties, or in the White House, that, you know, you need a signature without any kind of like a veto override. That's how you have to do these things. So you're not going to get everything you want. So, okay, if you're not going to get everything you want, your answer then is to shut down the federal government. Okay? Knowing that the other team is not going to like that, and the other team, oh, by the way, just so happens to control virtually all of the means of communication to the general public that doesn't follow all of this stuff, right? All I'm asking for is to people play is that people play a little smarter, right? And understand the game. Like, you know, I know we all know these things. We know that, you know, the legacy media is aligned against the GOP, but more specifically aligned against a limited government, anti-communist kind of philosophy. They are aligned against that. So, okay, your answer then is to what? Alienate a whole bunch of more people with a government shutdown. And look, maybe that is the right play. I don't know that. I'm just telling you that that is not a strategy that a lot of people believe can work for the Republicans. They believe that that strategy is actually going to hurt them. They will lose. And when then they lose, then the communist leftists are going to go even further. And they're going to push forward with more of their stuff. I don't know what else. And I look at the announcement today of Ronna McDaniel going over to NBC News as a pundit. And I'm supposed to take the tactical advice from the people that are beating the drum for the guy that kept her in charge of the GOP. Make it make sense. Make this make sense to me, please. So Trump was just keeping Ronna McDaniel around for what? Fill in the blank. Why? If everybody thought she was part of the problem, and now she's out, and then she goes and lands at NBC, confirming all of those suspicions, I'm supposed to take the tactical advice on, no, we should shut everything down. But here's the thing. I don't even know if Donald Trump would actually say shut it all down. I think there's a disconnect going on, because I think Trump takes a deal, actually, because that's what his presidency did. When he was president, he cut deals. But now I'm supposed to just fall in line with the Charlie Kirks? Like, Charlie Kirk is now going to set the policy? For who? For Marjorie Taylor Greene? Their incentives are aligned differently than mine. Okay? They are. I have some messages here. On the budget, this is from Tim. I saw on Real Americans Voice Chip Roy and Marjorie Taylor Greene speaking against passing Chuck Schumer's budget bill, which is $30 billion larger than Nancy Pelosi's bill last year. Buried in the bill is all kinds of pork, including $140 billion for Jordan's border security, $100 million for Egypt's schools, gender transition programs, tens of millions. Speaker Johnson is getting in bed with Chucky Schumer to push this crap through. Some conservative this guy is. They're doing all of this during, you know, the basketball tournament as well. It's all about distraction, bread and circuses. See, so here, this is a perfect example, Tim. This is what I'm talking about. So what? So Speaker Johnson is now in bed with Chuck Schumer. Guy's been fighting Schumer on the spending stuff for the entire time he's been the speaker. It's been one budget fight after another that he's been waging. And here's the thing. He can't win them. He can't win them as a, like, I'm a conservative, cut all the funding, do exactly what I want. He can't win those fights. He doesn't have the votes. He doesn't have the Senate. He doesn't have the presidency. Okay, so then what? Shut it down, right? That's the answer here. That's the only answer. Shut it down until what? Until Democrats stop being Democrats? I don't know. Maybe I'm just too practical and pragmatic for this, but it, like, to me, this doesn't make any sense. Anybody you put in that speakership is going to land on the same results. They are. They're going to come to the same conclusion that you either shut everything down or you do these spending bills that have stuff in them that you don't like that Democrats demand. And rather than blaming the Democrats for stuffing the budget bills filled with this crap, you're going to eliminate your own leadership and maybe show him the exit, right? Maybe he can do what McCarthy did and just walk away altogether. And now you got one seat, a majority. And if you don't lose the speakership to a Democrat coalition, what have you gained? Let's open up the email sack and take a look here. What do we got? John says, if memory serves correctly, you only did half a shift yesterday, Pete, and Brett Winterbull is off today. That's true. Chad Adams is filling in for him. Seems to me that it would only be appropriate that you took the first 2 hours of Winterbull's show to make up for the lost time. You know me. I am all about solutions. Ha, joke's on you, John. I actually provided 90 minutes of content yesterday. You have to get it on the podcast. So we did. There were two separate podcast episodes. What, the first one was the first hour and a half of the show, and then the second one was all bonus material. So I actually did do the full show. It just wasn't all on the radio. And that's good enough for me. Stan says, regarding your border crashing at the Grateful Dead show, that'll teach him to catch and release you at RFK. Exactly. It's catch and release. Richard says, Pete, good show as always. Thank you, Richard. I agree with the strongman caller and have long thought this. I don't think it's a conspiracy as much as shallow thinking by leftists seeking power. Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, et al. Are not Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Castro, etc., but they are setting the table for one. This is the logical conclusion of the left's policies, both government and cultural. That's true. Rich is correct. And the earlier caller, Russ was his name. If you want a good analogy for the Bolshevik Revolution and the rise of communism in Russia and the Soviet Union, right, there's a classic old tale called Animal Farm, right? The first revolutionaries, right, they're always like the idealists, right? They're the ones that are like, we have this philosophy and they're motivating people. And like, yes, sometimes you got to murder a bunch of people at the beginning. But then like, we're past all of that. We've already killed the bourgeois. They're dead. Like, we're liberated and all this. And then, of course, it doesn't work because it's communism and none of this crap ever does work. And so then they have to start blaming other people and the system doesn't really function correctly because it's, you know, it was developed by like an insane person. And so you now are trying to make this system work and it's not working. And then it ends up being taken over by the most ruthless of the people. And that's what Stalin did. Right? Stalin didn't really care about the ideological purity of Marxism. Right? He was a tyrant. He was a sociopath. Like that's who always takes control. Stan says, win by cheating on the polling on the elites, the 1% that said they would rather win by cheating. Just confess to all of us how they got into that group. That's probably accurate. And then regarding shutting down the government, I think everybody agrees that government spends too much money and agrees that spending needs to be cut. The problem is that government spends it all on us collectively, and most of us want to cut the money the government spends on everybody else and their priorities, but not our own. As long as the conversation is who's going to pay for it, as opposed to cutting spending across the board, we're going to keep kicking the can down the road until it's no longer a question as to who's going to pay for it. And Bob says, too many Americans do not know the language of federal budgeting. There's no such thing as zero-based budgets. All the COVID lard never expires. The GOP should embark on education campaigns on D.C. budgets. Ronna McDaniel is just following Michael Steele. That's true. Remember Michael Steele? Everybody had really high hopes for that guy, too. And he ended up on MSNBC as well. Greg says, Pete, I decided a while ago to no longer have an opinion on spending bills, budgets, etc., since we only talk about expenses. I never hear how these trillion-dollar bills compare to the government's income, which would, in theory, pay for them. Good one. That's hilarious. That would be similar to my wife and I fighting over how much money to spend each month without ever discussing how much money we are making. The entire process of talking about this is backwards. And then Jay says, end baseline budgeting. Yeah. So for folks who aren't aware, this is how it operate, how it works at the GovCo level, which is you take last year's budget and then you just sort of you say, okay, that's what we're going to spend this year plus 3%. And there's never a reversion back to zero and building the new budget all over again, because that's too much work. I also just saw Charlie Kirk, who I just mentioned, he is recommending against Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate, saying this is not the time to do it.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.